It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Republican-controlled state legislature is appealing a Dane County judge's decision this week to overturn parts of Act 10.
As of right now, the court's decision restores many collective bargaining rights for most public sector unions. Act 10 had eliminated that possibility for most public unions, except for police and firefighters.
Litigation over the court decision is likely to reach the state Supreme Court before this is over. And to note, Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of UW-Madison and the Educational Communications Board, a state agency.
On Wednesday, we got a reaction from John Shelton, member of the American Federation of Teachers Wisconsin and professor at UW-Green Bay. Now we hear from Rick Essenberg, president of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Rick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Let's start with the legal arguments before we get into the policy implications. Rick, the argument here in this case was an equal protection case saying, hey, this law treated one group of public employees or some groups of public employees different than others. The judge, at least this judge, agreed with that argument. What do you make the legal back and forth there?
Well, it's an extraordinary decision. So, you know, the Wisconsin Constitution does have an equal protection guarantee that's implied from some more general language. But if you look at the way that courts have generally handled equal protection claims, as long as they don't involve the exercise of a fundamental right or a classification based on what's called a suspect category, like, you know, race or sex, courts are very deferential, right? The equal protection guarantee does not mean that all groups of people must be treated equally. And if you think about it for a moment, it's got to be that way because the law makes distinctions between people all the time based upon their circumstance. So what happens is there's two ways that this is formulated in Wisconsin, but typically courts afford what's called rational basis review. And what rational basis review tends to mean, in fact, as long as you can conceive of a potential rationale for some government interest, even if the classification is not perfect, even if they haven't included everybody that might be included in the classification, the government distinction stands. And the reason for that is under our system, the legislature makes the law, and we don't want courts to actively be second-guessing what the legislature has done, which is often, you know, a product of politics and compromise.
And so that distinction, as you just said, in this case, I think the argument was we're saying there's a category that is public safety workers, police, firefighters, some others, and a category that isn't that. So in this appeal, I assume this argument is going to be made. So that is a reasonable distinction of category?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that I don't think that the court, if I'm reading court's opinion correctly, I don't think that the court concluded that you couldn't distinguish between public safety workers and non-public safety workers. He just thought that there were some people, basically Capitol and university police, that ought to be included in the public safety category. And if you look at the way both federal and state courts have tended to handle this issue in the past, and of course, in the law, nothing is perfect. You can always find a counterexample. The courts have not required that degree of perfection. So if you look at this situation, what happened is the legislature took some of the categories of a larger grouping called protective occupation employees, and it picked the ones that it thought were most important to exclude from Act 10 because they were concerned about what the impact would be of an unauthorized labor action. And they thought that when it comes to, you know, these public safety workers, they simply couldn't risk that. And so to say that, well, that classification becomes illegal because they didn't include every conceivable public safety officer, including university and Capitol Police, I think is inconsistent, fundamentally inconsistent with the way courts have tended to deal with these classifications because they don't require that the classifications be perfect. They do allow some degree of what we call over-inclusiveness or under-inclusiveness. And so this was an extraordinary judicial intrusion into a judgment that was made by the legislature. And it's one that was rejected by federal judge Bill Conley back when Act 10 first came on the books in 2011. Judge Conley said, look, I don't like Act 10. I don't like the way that the Walker administration went about doing this. But I can't say, given the law that I'm bound to follow, which is basically the same as what the Wisconsin courts do, I can't say that this is unconstitutional.
Now, I'm going to stay with the law a bit here. It's interesting because potentially a judge could say, yeah, I don't like that Capitol Police, University Police are left out. But unlike Judge Frost, they could say the cure for that is put them in. Right. They could have a less broad rejection of Act 10 than the judge made here, but still be sympathetic to the plaintiff's argument.
Right. And that's an argument that we made in an amicus brief. And actually, I'd also made that argument back in 2011. And the idea here is, OK, if you don't like this classification, then what do you do? And clearly, the legislature expressed a policy judgment about collective bargaining in the public sector. And another way of dealing with this is to say, well, all right, if we don't like this classification, if, for example, to go back to real examples of, equal protection problems back in the past, if we don't like the fact that, say, a particular racial group was excluded from a government program, the answer is not to eliminate the government program and eliminate the amendment of the law, but it's to include the excluded group. And so here I think, if you don't start with the bias that, collective bargaining is good, the outcome that you might reach is to say, look, this exclusion of, public safety workers is not permitted. And so we're going to include them in the general scheme of Act 10.
Talking to Rick Essenberg, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty president, looking at a judge overturning Act 10 this week, the collective bargaining law affecting public employees, most public employees, and an appeal, of course, in the works. Turning to the policy side of things, Rick, earlier this year, your organization said, hey, if we eliminate Act 10, it could cost local taxpayers roughly an additional $480 million a year. I mentioned we talked to John Shelton earlier this week with the American Federation of Teachers of Wisconsin, happy about this court ruling. Here's what he had to say to that.
Collective bargaining is a tool, and having that tool to be able to have, a stronger seat at the table with district administration is only going to help students in the long run. And teacher unions are going to, I can promise you that our unions in AFT Wisconsin are going to work with the school districts to try and make sure that students get everything that they need. And so that's what this is really about. And any efforts to try and say that K-12 teacher unions are going to like bankrupt school districts is just disingenuous.
Rick, your reaction, your thoughts on the financial impact here, if this holds.
I think if you get behind what he's really saying there, there's no inconsistency. He didn't refute what we found. And if you could look back at Act 10, at the time that Act 10 was passed, there was a real problem. The state was facing a very, very serious revenue shortfall because it had been relying on federal funds that were provided to states and localities in the wake of the financial crisis of 2008. And that money was gone now. And so what are you going to do? Well, the one thing you could do is you could raise taxes very, very high. Another thing you could do is you could cut services very, very deep. Or you could take a look at the cost of providing those services. And that's what Act 10 did. And to say that collective bargaining is a tool by which public employee unions provide greater services is, I think, ignoring the purpose of collective bargaining. I mean, collective bargaining is a tool that is used to change the supply and demand curves. It is designed to create a stronger bargaining position for represented employees in the hopes that they will be able to win a higher compensation package from the employer. Now, we can argue about whether that's good or whether that's bad, whether that's fair, whether that's not. But the whole purpose of collective bargaining is to shift the allocation of public resources to public employees. And so to deny that that's the case and to deny that this isn't going to cost taxpayers' money goes against the very theory of collective bargaining. And so we took a look at the impact. Yeah, it's $438 million for local units of government. It's another billion for school districts. And that's every year. And so, before you celebrate this opinion, you ought to at least acknowledge the fact that in all likelihood, this is going to substantially increase the cost of providing the same level of government services.
In our last minute or so, this is likely, as so many things do, to end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Justice Protasiewicz, seen as one of the liberal justices in her campaign, mentioned, hey, I protested against Act 10. I might consider recusing myself. Justice Hagedorn, seen on the conservative side, well, he was part of Governor Walker's legal team when this thing was crafted. There have been some speculation that he should recuse himself. Your thoughts on recusal for either, both, or neither?
Well, I mean, typically prejudging a case is grounds for recusal. And, you know, candidate Protasiewicz said she thought that this was unconstitutional. I don't think it's going to create a due process problem if she doesn't recuse, but we'll see. Typically a judge would recuse. Oftentimes it's also a basis of recusal if a judge was involved in something that, and, you know, leads to the very case that was before the court. And there could be a strong argument there for Justice Hagedorn to recuse as well, although perhaps that's been attenuated by the passage of time over the years. And also for both of them, what's called the rule of necessity. And the point there is the Wisconsin Supreme Court is a collegial court, a last resort, right? Everybody that's on that court has been elected to decide these important issues. And you can make an argument that recusal is a much more serious thing for Supreme Court justices than it.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Rick Essenberg, president and general counsel for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, looking at the latest on the court process for Act 10 in Wisconsin.